Good morning. The first lesson is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, beginning with verse 14. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. The word of the Lord. The psalm reading is found in Psalm number 25, beginning with verse 1. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, beginning with verse number 9. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Gospel readings found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, beginning with verse 25. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. All right, please be seated. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending the King of Hope to us. Lord, teach us right now how we can be people of hope under our King of Hope, in any time, under any circumstances, so that we can spread the good news of Jesus Christ and be ambassadors for our King. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Advent, What does Advent mean? So Advent means that somebody or something notable is arriving soon. And as Christians, we have our Advent is twofold, okay? So we celebrate at this season, we celebrate the King has come. Jesus was born, he lived, he was crucified, he rose, he ascended, he fulfilled 1,000 prophecies. He's been here, and we celebrate that Advent. But we also know that he's coming soon. He says he's coming again, and we all hope that he's coming. I hope that he's coming soon. Okay, so that's during the season of Advent. We have this time of expectation. It's not just about the baby in the manger, which is necessary, but it's also about Christ the King coming again. And the weeks of Advent, traditionally, there's a theme for each week of Advent, and those themes are hope, peace, joy, and love. And those describe the King, because he's the King of hope, he's the King of peace, he's the King of joy, he's the King of love. And so this week we get to focus on the King of hope. The King of hope is coming, he has come, and he's coming again. And what does the Bible say that hope is? What is hope for a Christian? See, I'm not concerned with the dictionaries of the world. I want the Bible to be my dictionary. Does that make sense? Because God is good all the time. And his word, we just heard it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So what does the Bible say that hope is? Hope in the Bible, a steadfast reliance on God's promises. In other words, I believe, I do not doubt, I believe that what God says is. That if he says it, it is. If it hasn't happened yet, it will. We have hope in that. Confidence. A confidence in that. Steadfast reliance on God's promises. A confident expectation of Christ's return. Jesus said, I'm coming again. If God says it, it is. If he says it, it's going to happen. If it hasn't happened yet, it will happen. So he's coming again. And a strength that leads to joy and perseverance. I want you to keep, this is very important. I want you to really embrace this. When we people of hope, under the King of hope, spread hope, that is our strength that brings joy into a world that desperately needs joy. True? When you bring hope into the world, the hope spreads, but the joy spreads too. We're going to talk about joy in 2 weeks. Today we're focused on hope. And we Christians, we can have hope because of who God is. There's not a lot in this world that gives me much hope. But we can have hope in who God is because God is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he said something, it is. If God says it, if it hasn't happened yet, it is. We can expect it to happen without a doubt. And so we can have hope because of who God is. In Jeremiah 33, God says, the days are coming when he's going to fulfill his good promise. He will fulfill his good promise that he made to Israel, that he made to Judah, and through Israel and Judah to us. He said he'd make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and that righteous branch would do what is just and righteous in the land. So Jesus of Nazareth, let's talk about Jesus of Nazareth. When we say the words Jesus of Nazareth, most of the time I think most of us think about the place he grew up, true? But I want you to know that when you say Jesus of Nazareth, you are proclaiming a prophecy of hope. The word Nazareth comes from the Hebrew word for branch. It's netzer. It's not an accident that Jesus was from Nazareth. That word means branch. So every time you say Jesus of Nazareth, you're not just saying Jesus who grew up in Nazareth, you're saying Jesus of the branch. Jesus of the branch of the line of David, who God prophesied through the prophet Jeremiah, through Isaiah, through Daniel, through Ezekiel. He prophesied that this branch would come, and now the branch has come. See? So you have hope. You can always have hope. So Jesus of Nazareth, let's say Jesus of Nazareth. That is a proclamation of hope that God keeps his word, just flat out. And in Jeremiah 33, we heard that God said that this branch would be just and righteous. So this king would be just and righteous in the land. And what Jeremiah was talking about with those words just and righteous, he is talking about how the Messiah is going to fulfill two different covenants. There's an Abrahamic covenant through Abraham, okay? And God told Abraham, through you all nations will be blessed. And Jesus did that. When Jesus gave his life for us, when he shed his blood for us, when he died and rose for us, he adopted us into his family. Prophecy says that he, in Book of Revelation, he purchases us. He makes us sons and daughters of God. That's the Davidic covenant. So the other covenant is the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant says that this branch, this person from the line of David, will make all nations. That's us. We're goyim. Have you ever heard that Yiddish word, goyim? It's kind of a pejorative, but that's who we are. It means Gentile. It means nations. And so the Davidic covenant was that this Messiah, this king, would be our king too, that he would make us sons and daughters for the Most High God. He did that one. He did that one. And then the other part of the Davidic covenant is that he will reign forever. And that one has not totally been fulfilled yet. See, there's two things that happen with prophecy. There's two ways that they're fulfilled. There's an immediate fulfillment, and then there's ultimate fulfillment. Okay? Immediate fulfillment is something that's either going to happen really soon or it's completed. It's totally done. So like in Isaiah, God tells Isaiah, before your little baby is able to say, Daddy, there's going to be an invasion. Boom, it happened. That's immediate. The birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem by a virgin, that happened. Immediate. It's fulfilled. Okay? But then there's ultimate fulfillment. Ultimate fulfillment means that God said something's going to happen. Maybe part of it's happened. Maybe it hasn't happened at all yet. But because God said it, it will ultimately be fulfilled. You with me? Because he can't lie. He can't break a promise. There's certain things that God can't do. He can't lie because he's the truth. You can't be the truth and lie. True? If God is something, he is all of it. So if he's the truth, he's all truth. And so if he speaks and he says, this is going to happen, then it's going to happen. We just may not know when. And so ultimately, Jesus will reign forever and ever and ever. That's the ultimate fulfillment. So Jesus is the King of hope because God fulfills all of his promises ultimately. Immediately and ultimately, but ultimately. And we're people of the King of hope because we have hope that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of the branch, is coming again. We have hope because we hope that Jesus is coming again. I love to look, y'all know that I love the book of Revelation, okay? Revelation, just wonderful. And in Revelation chapter 5, there's something that happens in the throne room of God that shows us why Jesus Christ ultimately, immediately and ultimately, is the King of hope, and that we're his people of hope. And if we're his people of hope, there's even instructions for us on how to be people of hope in a hopeless world, okay? And so John is in this amazing setting in the throne room of God, and a mighty angel comes out, and he says, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. So this is a big moment in time. Who's worthy? And they searched and searched, and there was no one worthy. It seemed hopeless because no one was worthy. And so John started to weep. But one of the elders near the throne of God becomes a messenger of hope. Guess what we are? Messengers of hope. He becomes a messenger of hope. And he says, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed." He has, immediate. He is able, because he's worthy, he's able to open the scroll and its seven seals. You have made them to be a kingdom of and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. That's what we are. You know, we're big about the priesthood of all believers here. Jesus made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. One of the best ways we can serve our God in this world is to be ambassadors of hope for the King of hope. And so when the elder says this to John, he starts to perk up. And then what happens is all around the throne of God, the elders, the creatures around the throne, and it says that ten thousands of angels start to sing a new song about the worthiness of Jesus Christ. So even though we're not worthy, we can't do it for ourselves. He is worthy. And so we inherit his worth. And this is what they sing. They sing, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal." Why? Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations. Nation, I want you to remember that. Lock that in. As we get closer to the end, you're going to want to come back and remember. He purchased you with your blood. You purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations. Nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And then they fall down and they worship him. And John is filled with hope. And he gives us this prophecy of hope that Jesus is coming and that he will reign. He will fulfill the Davidic covenant. If Jesus is our King of hope who came to save us, if he purchased us for God by the blood that he shed on the cross, then what do we, the people and the priesthood that he established to serve him to reign on earth, what do we do about it? What did the elder do? He became a messenger of hope. Guess what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to become messengers of hope. And he told John, "Do not weep. I have some good news for you." And that's who we are. We are people with good news. We're people who can say, "Listen, I know that you're not good enough. I know that you cannot earn salvation. But I know the guy who could and who did. Because he was perfect and he was pure and he was God. He is God. And he gave his life to purchase you with his own blood. You can belong to God. That's good news." We're people of hope, and we have a great message. In order to be people of hope, to get that message out there, to have people really believe it, we need to trust God's word. We need to trust him. Trust is a huge factor, right? If you don't trust me, I know you won't leave here with hope today. But if you trust me, if you trust the word of God, you're going to leave here with hope today. You're going to leave here as ambassadors of hope today. Because you trust God's word. David This was a, now remember, David was a guy who spent two-thirds of his life in war, battling or running away, hiding. He didn't win all the time, okay? But he was a person of hope. He didn't lose hope. I will not lose my hope in you. And the reason was because he trusted God. He trusted the covenant relationship that he was in with God. He said, "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause." What does that mean? What is it to be treacherous without cause? Listen, if we are people of hope, and we believe that God keeps his word, that whatever he says is true, and that he has good news, And we're a source of hopelessness in the world, then that's kind of treacherous without cause. It's shameful. Because we're telling the world, you can't really trust in God. If I exude hopelessness and I'm a Christian, that's treachery without cause, because God is good all the time. God is all-powerful. God is all-loving. He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger. He is abounding in steadfast love. He is all the things that he says he is. He does all the things that he says he does. So why not be a person of hope, right? That's who we are. People who live in hope for what he has done and in hope for what he will do have no reason to be anything but hopeful, because Jesus Christ, the King of hope, is proof that God is good. Jesus is proof that God is good. He's upright. All of his ways are faithful and loving, and we have no reason to act like hopeless people because our debt has been paid. Going back to Revelation, remember how he purchased you with his blood. He had to do that because a debt had to be paid. The wages of sin is, nobody can pay that. Nobody is worthy of paying that for themselves, let alone for the whole world, except for the one who was able to open the scroll, who is God, who is perfectly pure. Jesus did that. And so, when we're people of hope, you think about the debt that we owed to God that we couldn't pay, the burden of that, and how Jesus did that for you. I just was able to finish paying off a huge debt that I've been trying to pay off for 7 years. 7 years. You know how good it felt to pay that final payment? Anybody else been there? Felt pretty good. But when I think about sin and the wages of sin, and this is the truth, I get it, I understand it, it adds up that nobody can pay that for themselves. Only God could do that. And only God did. He paid our debt. He purchased us with his blood. Not because he had to, but because he loves us and he wants us and he wants us to be with him forever. He did that because of his, he cherishes you. He desires you. He wants you with him forever. And so he did that for us. And so we, of all people, we should be people of hope. No matter what is going on in the world. No matter what. I'm going to be a broken record over the next 3 weeks. I've already said it once today. I'll say it again right now. One of the best ways that you can show God that you love him, that you have hope, that you believe what he says is true, is to share the good news with other people. And in this season, we have an opportunity, like maybe, well, there's only one other time during the year, right? Where the whole world is actually celebrating Christmas, whether they even know who Jesus is or not. And it's our chance to say, let me tell you why this is such a happy season. A debt's been paid, your debt. The thing that kept you apart from God, that's been paid. It's good news. Christ was born. We're not just celebrating some philosopher, some normal, you know, person who was born in a... What difference would that make? God came for you. We have this opportunity. And Christmas Eve, I'm telling you, this year, you're going to sing Christmas carols of hope. They're going to hear a hope-filled message of the love of God for them. Please, don't just invite. Bring people with you on Christmas Eve. Bring them. When the King of Hope rules us and we become ambassadors of hope, hope spreads. It becomes infectious. It becomes contagious. I don't know if it's too soon to say let's have a pandemic of hope. No masks required. Okay? But that's the kind of people we need to be. Because when you're a hope-filled person, it will spread. What we heard in 1 Thessalonians was an example of that, okay? Paul is writing to this little church in Thessalonica, and he's telling them, I had to write this to you because Timothy, who's like Paul's adopted son, reported to me about how hope-filled he was because of your witness and testimony. He came just overflowing with joy because of his experience with you, and because of his joy, now I have joy, and it's bubbling over. That's essentially what 1 Thessalonians 3 is saying. And so he has to write them back and tell them, this is how you made me feel because of how you treated my kid. And this is what he says. He says, how can Timothy and I thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Do you get that that's how we... When you're hopeful, when you're a hope-filled person, that's how you make people feel. It spreads, it's contagious. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking with your faith. Do you know when you're a hope-filled person, people want to be around you? They want to make a beeline to you. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord, hope, here, ambassador of hope, when, not if, but when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Hope. Hope spreads. One of our 8 o'clockers told me, oh, everybody on Facebook needs this. Because we have the opportunity to share hope. You have lots of avenues. Share hope. Be hopeful. When we live as people of hope, we hope in the King of Hope, who hope, you know, I'm going to hope, right? When we live as people of hope, who hope in the King of Hope, we spread hope, which turns into the joy of the Lord. He's the King of joy as well. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So hope brings joy. Joy is strength. Strength compels us to be people of hope. Does that make sense? It's not a vicious cycle. It's a positive cycle, right? And Jesus told us something in Luke chapter 21 that's really important because he was speaking apocalyptic prophecy. Oh, it's scary stuff, right? And we heard that all about the heavens are moved and the seas are boiling and all this kind of, and people are so afraid that they're terrified, they're fainting from terror. But, right? He says, don't be that way. Don't be that way. Just like the elder said, do not weep. Right? Don't be that way, because if you're that way, Jesus said this, if you give in to the despair and hopelessness of the world, then that is like a despair trap. It's going to trap you. But don't be that way. He says, at that time, when you see all these things, you know, like summer is near, that's something to look, that means I'm coming again, and I'm coming soon. So when you see those things, don't despair, but have hope. Okay? And he says, at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place. Now, I want to challenge you on this, because we're always looking for these signs. Lots and lots of books about prophecy and signs and when it's all going to happen and da-da-da-da-da. But you know what Jesus was saying? And he's saying, this stuff has happened, it is going to happen, it's going to keep happening until I come again. And every time you see it, let it be a reminder to you that I'm getting, every day is a day nearer. Okay? And so here's what you do. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Okay? In other words, don't be this. You're in despair. Your head's down. Your eyes, oh, woe is me, woe is me. No, there's no hope there, right? Stand up. Lift up your heads. And that is going to be noticeable. That is going to be attractive. That is going to be contagious. And what's great about it is when people are drawn to the hope that you have in Jesus Christ and you give them the message of do not weep, they're going to find out how near their redemption has actually already come. And they'll receive him. And they'll have eternal life through him. They'll be changed inside and out forever and ever. That's good news. It's good news. It's good news. So Jesus tells us to be people of hope. Stand up. Lift up your heads. Be an ambassador. Praise him every chance you get. And if you want to know how you can show your love for Jesus, again, I'm going to be a broken record on this, show your love, show your faithfulness, show your hope is in him, then share him with someone who doesn't. Anybody else know somebody who doesn't have much hope? Well, guess what? You have a message. Do not weep. I got good news. I got good news for you. And in fact, it's all around you right now. There's a reason for all this. There's a reason. Be bold and invite them. Be bold and speak to them. And they'll hear the hope-filled message of the love of Christ. Our Savior, our King. God said he did it and he's coming again. We got good news. I'm going to end today with the prayer that Paul prayed for the Thessalonians for us. Okay? Lord God, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Lord, clear the way for us to come to the people in our lives who need a message of hope and give us the boldness to joyfully proclaim you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.